Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the AMAA, Martial Arts Masters, Blog Talk Radio Show, hosted by the American Martial Arts Alliance, dedicated to building the awareness of professionalism in the martial arts through martial arts management and student development.
Hello, everyone. This is Grandmaster Jesse Bowen, and welcome to our show. This is the American Martial Arts Alliance. Martial Arts Masters, we're here in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Battle of Atlanta World Karate Championship. And right now, we're getting ready to take part in a historical event. We have masters from four decades, quoting Grandmaster Bill Clark, and the name the Jeff Smith, Stephen Oliver, and Grandmaster Joe Corley. So we're ready now to kick off this major event, and we're going to have Grandmaster Corley. I'm going to hand it over to him and let him take over.
Thank you, sir. We're recording this tonight for his blog talk radio, so anybody that's up here speaking is going to walk around like this is a microphone, you know. My daughter saw me doing this early on, walking around with what was then known as a BlackBerry, and now she's with these things 24/7. Thanks for being here, guys. This is really a special time. We're getting close to the 50th anniversary of the Battle of Atlanta in 2 years, and Greg Ruth, who is our new promoter for the Battle of Atlanta, he has Truth Entertainment, and he's building up to that 50th. I'm going to have him talk about it in a minute, but Mike Genova called and said that we have this great idea. It would be nice for all of us to visit here instead of waiting till we get to heaven to visit. And so that seemed like a very novel idea. So my hat's off to him for both conceiving of that brilliant idea and also bringing so many people together here. Yeah. I'm going to start tonight just by just doing a quick 50 years. It won't take me but 4 or 5 hours to go through these first 50 years. And the way we say it in our household is we're halfway to the promised land, so we have to now make the most of the second half. When we started the first Battle of Atlanta, we had no idea that there would be this many of them. You know, one of our favorite quotes over the years has been for those that are in the room. Many of the people in the room here have been inducted into our Centurion Club. And as you know on it, it says, one man has enthusiasm for 30 minutes, another man for 30 days, but it's the man who has it for 30 years that will make a difference. And I know when I started, if I had gone in my school and said, well, 30 years from now, I can make something happen, I never would have started. It's just absolutely ridiculous for a young person to think of. So the fact that it has been able to maintain for this long speaks volumes for the kind of support that we've had over the years from really a number of key people. One of my favorite interviews that I've ever seen, if you guys haven't seen it, I recommend you go back and do it, is Ed Bradley on CBS does an interview with Bob Dylan. And he starts off the interview, he says, so they say you wrote Blowing in the Wind in 10 minutes. And Bob Dylan says, yeah, about that. And so the interview goes on, a great interview, and later on he says, so now, what about now? What are you doing now? He says, can't do that anymore. He said, there are other things I can do, I just can't do that anymore. And that's kind of how I ended up feeling about the Battle of Atlanta about 3 years ago. I said, there's other things I can do, but I can't every day for 9 months out of the year spend 10 hours a day trying to get something to start on time when so many people were operating from a different watch. You know, it just, so Greg Ruth offered to step up, and it was just really great. I'm very proud of what he's done. Gregory has stepped up to help them. Ernest the Cat Miller is stepping in to help everybody. So Keith Vitale, you know, is, of course, one of my favorite people on the planet. And he told me a story about how his first tournament, he saw me fighting his instructor, you know. And his instructor, of course, was Invincible at that point in time. And then later, Keith would grow up to be Invincible, right?
Oh.
was that last name?
Oh, McCallum.
Yeah, I'm his biggest fan.
So, anyway, don't need to talk a whole lot more about it. A lot of stuff has happened over these years, a lot of stuff that I can look back on and be proud that our sport accomplished some things, but we're only one-tenth of the way there. If we just had the Fertitta brothers show up as my college classmate instead of Dana White's, it would have been a different world that we live in. So the key now is to lay the groundwork for the next generations that come behind us, and we were fortunate on this particular weekend to have the support of Grandmaster Glenn Keeney and Grandmaster Alan Steen, and that's really the part I wanted to talk about. When I was in a 600-square-foot karate school in Midtown Atlanta here, the Highland, Virginia area, I had this thing, many of you know what it is, it's called a Super 8mm film. And it went in this thing and made this noise like that. And I wore this thing out, and I was watching a man named Alan Steen fight a man named Chuck Norris and a man named Joe Lewis, and they were doing that out in the internationals. And this man beat both of those guys. He beat Chuck Norris and Joe Lewis that night. And I said, I want to be able to do things like that. So the first tournament I decided to go to was in Madison Square Garden. And as fate would have it, I met Chuck Norris there for the first time. And he invited me to come out to California to train with him. And about 2 years later, I was able to do that. And became friends with Pat Johnson and Chuck and all that. And that was interesting. During that 2 years, I got to go up to North Carolina and fight in a tournament there with a man named Chuck Matthews, had a tournament. And never been kicked in the face in my life in a karate tournament. And this man kicks me in the face with a counter spinning back kick. I still can see it. And then in the last point tournament I fought in, Jay Will put it on in Columbus, Ohio. My back had just given completely out. And the last match I lose is to him. And so all these things, you know, tie together in some way. Funny story on that day, people were mocking us from the stands because we were moving around and doing some silly stuff like using strategy and stuff like that. And so at the end of the fight, I was so perturbed because he did a little hip fake, and I went in to punch him, and he side-kicked me. Now, so it's the second time he's hit me. And so I go over and challenge 300 people in the audience to step outside with me. So he's at the exit door, you know, trying to find a place that, and he was a fox. And finally, I'll say about Matt Cicchini is when we did the Wallace retirement fight at the in, well, the way he told me is that he was getting an escape route for me. So when we did the Bill Wallace retirement fight live for CBS in Anderson, Indiana, the producer wanted the truck to be set up 3 days prior to the shoot. And there was a superintendent there at the school who said, absolutely no way. I'm in charge of this facility. You're not getting in here. Producer talked to him. We called, had CBS call him. Couldn't happen. Master Keeney fixed the problem. He went out and found a lady of the night and brought her over to meet the superintendent. And they left for a while. When they came back, the truck was set up. So this is a man that solves problems. All right. So this weekend, we'll see, our 2016 version of what happens in the martial arts. We all think history starts when we join it. You know, there was no history before we were born. So all these kids out here, you know, we're going to stand up on the stage tonight, and they're going to hand you these. They're going to go, who is that? What are they doing? What's all that about? So we did this here. So we can recognize what you've done in front of people that can understand and appreciate what you've done. So that's the whole purpose for this tonight. Now, to bring us current, Mike calls me and he says, we had this conversation. We really would like to get everybody together. He's going to talk about the folks that are here in the room. After it's after we do that, we're going to introduce the people who have received these Eternal Warrior Awards before and the folks that are in the Centurion Club. And then we'll do pictures after that, and Duke Trussell will take the pictures so that you guys will have them for your PR efforts. So, again, if you'll give Mike a big round of applause. He was
relentless in getting this to happen.
This is what happened. I don't go to karate tournaments in the last 30 years. I have a school, and I concentrate and focus on my family and my school. But at the same time, I read two things. I read my Bible, and I read this. And John Corcoran wrote this years ago. I've had it. One of my students in my karate school went to the library and got this out and said, "Hey, I saw your name in this book in the library." And I went, "What book?" So I went to the librarian and said, "I got to have that book." It's got the results of all the karate tournaments from 1963, and your name is the very first name in there, all the way through up to the early 90s. John Corcoran wrote this book, and it's got all the rankings and tournaments. It's very accurate. I've only found four or five where he's got things flipped in there. It's got the 1973 Battle of Atlanta, where Howard Jackson beat Jeff Smith and Bill Wallace and Everdeddy got third and fourth. And then the next year, 74, it was reversed. Wallace beat Everdeddy and got third, and he got fourth. And Howard and Jeff, that it's got all the results. And when I went to Joe Louis's funeral, I actually took it with me and showed it to John, and John was looking through it like he'd not seen it before. He said, "I don't even have a copy of this." And until I saw one person today, somebody said that they'd seen one. I don't know who it was, but James says he has one, James Cook. Then I heard Herb Johnson died, Fredo Lutuli died, Ernie Radar Smith died, and then Steve Fisher called me up, and I was talking to him on the phone, and he said, "Mike, I'm not doing well. I'm having all these problems." And he said, "I want you to come and see me." And I said, "Fish, I'm real busy right now, but I'll get there." And then he died. And it's my problem. I felt like crap. I went, "No, this is not happening." So I called Keith, and I said, "Keith, I'm going to schedule a top 10 reunion. I'm going to get all the guys together. I don't want to go to funerals. I want to see everybody while they're alive." So I started calling. And then I just said, "Okay, what can we do?" Well, I called Century and talked to Mike Dillard, and he gave me a guy named Kyle that was his son-in-law, and they didn't want to do anything at the Super Show for us. It's in July. And I said, "Okay." So then I talked to Keith again and talked to Joe, and they said, "Do it at the Battle." So I got on the phone, and just in the last 2.5 months, and then they said Dan Anderson was coming. I said, "Then that's it. I got me, Keith, and Dan. I'll call Bobby Chucker. I'll call the guys close by." And then I started calling, and I had the list, and I called. I couldn't find Glenn McMorris. Took my rankings from the years in the books. And the guys that won the most during those years, number one, Keith Vitale. Number two, 5 years in a row, Raymond McCallum from Texas. Yeah, Bobby Tucker, Robert Harris, Dan Anderson, John Longstreet, Al Francis, Toki Hill, and James Cook. And I got in touch with all these guys, and I said, "Man, listen, I don't need morbid here, but let's get together." And Larry Kelly is in that group too, but he's out of the country. And for those, he's in Boston, and he's out of the country, so he couldn't come. He's protesting something, man. He's always protesting something. But it's really bad he couldn't be here. And I don't want to leave him out. He was coming up until yesterday. And his brother has diabetes, and he's real sick. And he called me yesterday. He was so upset he couldn't come. And he said, and I told him who all was coming from Texas, and he said that he's well represented. But he wanted to be here as well. And if I could get the people that I just named, go ahead, Ray. Oh, and I'm going to. I am. Well, the thing about the rankings is when Full Contact came and Bill Wallace and Howard Jackson and Jeff Smith left to go do the Full Contact, there was a void in the sport karate, as the people that are in this room know. And Keith and I went to St. Petersburg, Florida, fought in the official karate magazine, Southeastern Regional. And I beat a guy down there named Harold Gross, not a friend of Joe Corley. And I think that's the first time Joe actually liked me was when I won that fight. We were in the magazines, and it was awesome. And then so we called the Worleys up and said, "We'll come out to the Mid Americas and fight." I think it was called Mid Americas at the time. And then we called Roy Kerman in Texas, and he said, "Come on." And then we, you know, started traveling around the country and doing that. But Renardo Barden from Karate Illustrated magazine would take our picture, do articles, help get that ranking system going with Sam Chapman, I don't even know where Sam is, he's here somewhere. Sam Chapman and Chris McLaughlin and Joe Corley and people around the country doing the regional rankings. We didn't fight for the trophies. We fought to get our name in the magazine, our pictures in the magazine. I mean, it was pure love of that sport, karate. So what I wanted to do was get everybody together because it's completely changed now. I mean, nobody knows who we are, like Joe said, and it's okay. We know who we are. And I love you guys. I mean, I don't know how other sports are, but when we go out and eat dinner together and fight, I stayed at Bobby Tucker's house whenever I would fight in Greenville and ended up having to fight him. He would fight Keith. We would ride together in Bobby's Winnebago and go to Alabama and Memphis, Baltimore. We would all ride together. Keith and Bobby fought 20 times, riding in the same car going to tournaments. One time, Bobby and me went over to Keith's house and got him. He's playing tennis. So we're going to a tournament. Keith put his tennis stuff up, jumped in the car, had to fight Bobby in the finals in Alabama. Bobby should have left him that day. History with us and a memory. And, you know, the first tournament I went to, I was a white belt, 1972, went to Ed Parker's Internationals and saw Dan Anderson fight Byung Yu. I sat on the edge of the ring. I remembered him from a magazine I read on the airplane, a black belt magazine, and went, oh, that's Dan Anderson. I saw him in the magazine. And just got that fever about sport karate. So if I could get all of you guys that I just named to please stand up and let everybody know who you are. Ray McCallum, please. John Longstreet, Keith Vitale, Bobby Tucker, step out. Robert Harris, where's Robert? Cokie Hill. And y'all going to come up in a minute. James Cook. And y'all are going to come up again in a minute. Thank you, guys. I want to say something about Cokie. Since I've been in karate, you know, everybody makes a big deal about karate and the Olympics and Taekwondo, and it's all wonderful. I know, because I've known Cokie for a long time, he has worked his whole life to get karate in the Olympics. And I don't know if you heard the news a couple of weeks ago, but it has now been accepted in the Olympics. It's going to start in Japan. Yeah, and Cokie Hill has a lot to do with that. And I'll be honest with you, when I saw it, I got teary-eyed looking at it. I went, oh, my God. And in Cokie's lifetime, he's going to see that come to his fruition. I mean, he's going to get to see that, and that is incredible. And that's going to be good for everybody. It's going to be good for, yeah, we all had a hand in that. And that's the reason why we're here. And I was telling some other people, they said, well, what are you going to do with the thing? I said, I don't know. What'd you say, pictures, John? We'll go have lunch. I mean, we didn't come here to get any kind of a special thing. I just wanted to see everybody, and I figured, let's just do it. And Joe Corley, that's why we did it. And I couldn't have done this if Joe didn't let us crash his party here. So I'm going to hand for Joe Corley on that.
We have some special recognition awards that we're going to present to you guys. You are being inducted into the, being awarded the Joe Louis Eternal Warrior Award, of course, and then others will also receive some recognition. Now, I guess it was 2012, we did the video here of Joe Louis, you know, it was it. But in 2012, he was ill, right? Yeah, and so we typed the Battle of Atlanta into, can't believe how long it's the grief stage. But anyway, we lost him in 2012, and then in 2013, we got together with Mike Allen, who ran the Joe Louis Fighting Systems, and created this award. And it's great. Now, Jeff Smith was closer to Joe Louis than anybody in those last months of his life. So anybody that gets that receives this award has to be approved by Jeff Smith and Bill Wallace. I mean, those guys have to do it. The first ones to receive the awards were Jeff and Bill and Chuck Norris. I don't think many people know, but Norris chartered a plane and took it up, right? And who are all the people you went? Did you go up with him on that flight? Mr. Daniels, Burleson, you know. In fact, Joe was there, and he looked outside, and he saw Chuck Norris outside the building, and he wondered, is he here promoting a movie or something? And so, but these guys did so much for him. And now Joe Louis, he won the very first Battle of Atlanta. He won the first PKA World Heavyweight Championship. He came back at age 40, you know, to make a comeback. He did that here at the Battle of Atlanta. So he made a big impact on us. It was actually PKA was his idea. So what I ended up inheriting was Joe Lewis's idea. Said, we're going to recognize now the folks in the room that have received this award in the past. And before that, let me talk about Jeff Smith. When I went to one of those first fights up in Madison Square Garden, I was really nervous, but I wasn't afraid. I was nervous. A couple hours later, I was really afraid because I was riding in Jeff Smith's VW Beatles van, and Pat Worley and I were just white. I mean, we were white from fright. Just to not pay any attention to those lines up here in New York. And he's banging like the guy in Chicago. We weren't like the guy in where was he that got his head banged against the van? What city is that where they're both? So anyway, Jeff Smith has just been instrumental in so many ways in our sport. When we needed help in the PKA as announcing or whatever after his fighting career, he was always there for us. And I'd like to really thank you for that. Another man in the room who also did everything for us was Master Clark. Master Clark did everything he possibly could. So these are people, and that's what we like about the Centurion Awards and about the Joe Lewis Eternal Warrior Awards, is that you have people that started as fighters, and then they went on to make such a great impact on so many people. Dean told me the other day that people that keep up with it say he's got 110,000 black belts that have come down through that era. So, so you just think of the impact that these folks have had. Mr. Smith, I want to turn the floor over to you for a minute just to talk a little bit about the Eternal Warrior Award, if you will, and then we're going to recognize those in the room that have received it so far, then we're going to pass out this year's awards to everyone.
And, of course, without blowing his own horn, we have to blow it for him. Without Joe Corley, there'd be no Battle of Atlanta. Without Joe Corley, there'd probably be no PKA. He's really been instrumental in that whole vision of the point fighting tournament for many years, all the way through the kickboxing, getting it on TV. He put his whole personal life on hold, as his wife can attest, even these Battle of Atlantas, that he finally cut that loose, because it is a lot of pressure to do that for so many years when you're trying to run a school and trying to do other things. But he really, from the times that he was in New York City, just taking a year off from his life, living in New York City just to promote our PKA and trying to get it on the TV people to buy into it. I mean, he really laid the groundwork for the UFC and all these other people that are really reaping all the financial benefits right now, and it's a shame for somebody who has laid that much foundation not to be able to share in that. So I really want to make sure that everybody recognizes him for that effort. You know, the thing about Joe, a lot of you knew him. You knew him, just in passing, but you all, you know, there's very few people who didn't admire him. It was just his whole personality, his demeanor. Win, lose, or draw, you didn't want to be in the ring with him. That was the one thing. Oh, not you? So that's why when I talked to Joe and we decided to do the award to keep his name, his recognition alive for what he has brought to our sport, the charisma that he had, his style of fighting, he always liked to come to first saw him fight, but
but he'd like to come to Texas and fight with all of Alan Steen's black belts, because he told me those were the only guys that really fight. When he would do the other parts of the country, he called those guys patty cake or flippy dippy. You know, he had a few other choice words for that style of fighting. But the one thing that is common with every one of these people that have been inducted into this Joe Louis group is they're fighters. Joe Louis was not one to tell you to your face whether you could fight or not. And mostly it was you couldn't fight. And if you didn't think you could fight. And the people that have been are the real fighters, the ones, some have won more than others. But it's the fighting spirit that we're looking for that we really respect. You know, I was lucky enough to come up by martial arts training through Texas, and you know, my first tournament, big national tournament I got to see was the Alan Steen's U.S. Championship in 1967, and I got to compete at the Green Belt. And when I watched Chuck Norris fighting, and I watched Fred Wren fight, and Jim Harrison, and those guys fighting, I had a completely different attitude after watching that event in how to train. Because before I went to that tournament, that style of fighting was not in my vocabulary. Okay, these guys are fighting for real. This is real. They're not killing each other, but it's pretty close, about as close as you can come to it. And I learned the Texas rule of contact real quick. If he's moving forward, you hit him as hard as you want because he ran into it. And the second rule was kill the body and the head will die. So if he's moving away, you want to put not the punch to the front, but you want to see it come out the back. And that's how you know you had a point. And we used to say, we don't need the judges to call our point. We'll have our opponent call the point, because when you pull it out and then he falls, he called the point. So I always love to have those kind of points when I was fighting, but I learned it all from watching Alan Steen, Pat Burleson, Jim Harrison, Fred Wren, Skipper Mullen, those pioneers back in Texas. You know, Joe was talking about Glenn Keeney. I remember the first time I watched Glenn Keeney fight, and I was going like, hey, he's kind of small. He doesn't look that tough. And then I found out why they call him the Fox, because he would just sneak up on people. You wouldn't think that he was going to get you. And when you hesitated for a second, he would be right on you and just get the point. So he was always a very consistent winner, as Joe found out when he got kicked in the head. And he told me that story more than once about the back. And I'm sure his back hurt a lot more after point on him than before. But we're here to celebrate the new inductees into this exclusive club. And we have the other people that have been inducted already. We're glad they could make it here to honor those people that are being inducted into it. But even more importantly is to keep the Joe Louis legend alive, because he's really one of those pioneers that we don't want to let his stories die. We want, even though he has passed, his stories will live on through you, your students, and the other people that can tell stories or hear stories about him. Since I was with him probably the last, at least 3 days a week, the last 2 months of his life, it was the hardest time for me to see him like that. When you see somebody that was just so big and strong and, you know, to start dwindling like that, it was very hard to do. But more important, I could see him dwindling inside. So I was trying to give him something to get excited about. And he was telling me stuff like, nobody even knows he's in the hospital. Nobody even knows he's still alive. He said, they think I'm dead already. And that's when I put out something on Facebook for everybody to send real cards, not because he couldn't get internet in the VA hospital, so he could only get cards and letters and things like that. So I just
said for everybody, take a picture, any old pictures you have, writing a letter, postcard, sending something that he can see visibly. Well, I didn't tell him that I was going to do that. But in 1 week, it wasn't even 10 days, the next time I came back, I walked into his room, and literally, and I even took pictures of it, posted a lot of you saw it, from the top of the ceiling to the bottom, all the way around the room, there were pictures and cards, and he was sitting up. And he was up in his bed, because normally I'd come, he would be sleeping. He was up, he was walking around. I even got to take him to Chick-fil-A. He liked to go get his chicken sandwiches at Chick-fil-A. And walked all around the facility there. And it was such a boost for him. And I walk in, of course, I acted like I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't ever tell him that I posted anything or anything. I just said, where did all this come from? And then he was like he says, I don't know. I didn't do it. I didn't tell anybody. He was like trying to defend himself. Like I'm saying, how come you did? What did you do? I didn't do anything. He said, it just came. And it was the same thing when Alan Steen and Chuck Norris and the gang came. I was there 2 days after that, and he was so excited. He was like, you're not going to believe. And I had already known that they were coming and that they were there, but I acted like I didn't know anything about it. And he was going, you're not going to believe. I dreaming. He said, I was in my bed, and somebody said, there's somebody here to see you. And then I walked out, and there was Chuck Norris and Alan Steen and Skipper Mullins, and started naming off all these names. And he goes, I didn't know if I was real. He said, I was trying to pinch myself. He said, what are you guys doing here? You know, why are you all here? He said, I thought it was a tournament or something, and I was having some flashbacks. But it was such a pick up for him. But to see him, you know, having that kind of, feelings and see him happy and smiling there near the end, it was really uplifting, and it was so much because of you guys and the love and respect that you showed him. I know he's still looking down, is really, really happy for us doing all this for him. So I want to thank everybody and Joe Corley for putting this together and you guys keeping it alive.
And so, by name, you got Tony Young, Magic Johnson, of course, Master Clark, Bill Clark, Master Keeney, Glenn Keeney, Ray McCallum, Keith Vitale, Coyote Cassell, Art Heller. The Art Heller story is to tie together with Alan Steen. When we first started leaving the Korean ranks, you know, I was going to tournaments and I didn't have any hands. So God sent Art Heller by way of Alan Steen to beat the crap out of me every night that I could do it so I could learn some hands. Lynn Gregory, Eternal Warrior Award and the Joe Louis Award. Sam Chapman, Robert Harris, Bobby Tucker, of course, Dan Anderson is tonight, then we have James Cook, and let's see, did I miss anybody? Is anybody standing at, yeah, Daryl is tonight, yes, of course, yes, yeah, so these are our previous recipients, and what I would do at the Battle of Atlanta every year is I would go and I would do about a minute on everybody, and the new promoters are saying, oh. So that's why we're doing this today. So thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it. Now, for the golden era of martial arts, we created a golden era of fighting. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I realize that.
This is the way we... So, this says, in recognition of your outstanding martial arts competitive career, your national ranking,
your leadership in and out of the ring, your instruction and sharing with others, and your world-class guidance, integrity, and dedication, you're hereby recognized as an elite Battle of Atlanta / PKA warrior and international martial arts ambassador. So, now, there were some names that I didn't get from Mr. Goldman in time, Mr. Geneva in time, so these are blank, so I didn't try to scribble your name in there. You can go back and have someone do it with calligraphy if you like. So,
well, everyone, I hope you really enjoyed this wonderful, amazing presentation here of some of the greatest martial artists in the history of the martial arts gathered in one place here at the Battle of Atlanta through our radio show, Who's Who in the Martial Arts. We'll be able to share these stories and that make sure that they're not lost in time, that our program, our show, the Who's Who's book, will be a history book for those who have been phenomenal in the martial arts and their contribution. Hey, everyone, this is Jesse Bowen saying, you know, thank you for tuning in, and don't forget, tune in for our next show.